Assuming I've pressed the buttons correctly, we're live.
Woohoo!
Yay.
It looks like I pressed the buttons correctly. Awesome. Hello, and welcome to Pack Tactics, a homebrew 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign. My name is Crash, I will be your DM for the evening, and I am joined by a bunch of awesome people, including but not limited to Ellie, Io, Jen, and Cindy. So, what happened last week?
A scary robot cast banishment on me, the player.
Yes, but I edited that all out for the recording. Shh.
Let's see.
Oh, right.
We made friends with a skeleton and turned his head orange.
We did do that, yes. But before that, we had to get into the city, which involved finding a way into the towers to pull a bunch of levers. I remember that.
Yeah.
And Marwise was spooked by seeing a shadowy figure on top of a palace staring at her.
Right. Yep.
So
and then we started.
We went to go investigate.
Of course. And that is where we found the skeleton, who Gox tried to hit with an axe and failed.
Oh, also one of those creepy one-eyed things was following.
Yes, we think. And we saw the giant spider thing go by, but it ignored us.
But also, then Gox remembered that he had a bonus to hit and succeeded.
Oh, yeah. And then we got in an argument, or Gox got in an argument with the skeleton, who turned out to be Varn's brother.
True.
This probably makes no sense to anyone listening that's not tuned in before. But that is what happened.
You know, when you think of all the kobold adventures that have taken place,
mm-hmm.
I'm not entirely sure it always helps to have tuned in before.
Yeah,
I mean, well, bear with me, because I am going to go to my account and look something up here real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a bit of a delay between when we record these and when they go up in an audio version podcast.
Okay.
The one that went live today includes a point where I say a large shark has burst through the floor and has taken a chomp out of your brother, who is currently a giant, huge crab.
This is true. This is what happened in that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it just gets better from that. I keep saying this is not the strangest thing I've said when running a campaign, but if I sit down and try to think of what the strangest thing is, it's a bit of a tie.
Know.
Ooh, what's it a tie between?
All of them.
That's valid.
Yeah, well, it is a kobold campaign. Weird things are going to happen with kobolds.
Well, even the other campaigns.
This is true as well.
Yes, it's all glorious.
Yeah, this is true as well.
All right, and if I remember correctly, you ended the last session directly in front of the palace doors.
I think so.
I think that sounds right.
Okay. Well, as you get there, Gallic Rotfoot, who is Varn Rotfoot's brother, hops out of the cart and walks up to the double doors and gives them a push, and they swing open. Then he walks right inside.
Hmm.
Excellent, I follow.
Of opening doors.
Oh, well, if Zeely's following, then I'm going to follow too.
I'm going to tie the mules to something and follow.
As it is a palace, there is a thing next to the doors that you can tie mounts and stuff off to. It's rather ornate. It's more form than function, but I guess the idea is that they would only be temporarily tied there and then some stable hand would come and lead them away.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you would want any stable hand in this particular area to come and do anything.
Hmm.
Considering most of them are just skeletons. Like the skeletons that you're walking past right now. Those very large skeletons. They're about 15 feet tall.
Oh.
Yes, there's one on either side of the doorway as you enter in, and they are holding swords where the tip of it is on the ground, and their arms are in front of them, holding the hilt of the sword at chest level. Mm. So these are very large swords, even if you scaled them down to medium-sized creature size.
So these are swords that are wider than they are tall, is what you're saying.
If they drop the sword on you, there's not going to be much to regenerate.
Mm.
But
are they kobold skeletons?
I'm sorry?
Are they kobold skeletons?
No. You're not quite sure what species that they were in life, but they are certainly not reptilian in nature.
Okay, so they're not. We don't have to worry about giant doom kobold.
Giant doom skeletons, perhaps, but giant doom kobolds. Hold on, let me add something to my notes.
Giant doom kobolds are called kobolds. Dragonborn.
Those are
okay, yes, that's true. Does Zili have inspiration? Well, Zili now has inspiration for inspiring the DM, which is something that the player for Zili may regret later.
By saying that giant doom kobolds are called dragonborn, I'm intrigued, and I look forward to seeing this, whatever came out of this.
Well, it might take a while. Every now and then, there's a reveal that was planned months, if not a year in advance, and I live for those moments. For example, for the other campaign, Ellie and I were talking about something, and I'm not going to say anything more about it. Except I'm just going to smile. All right, moving on.
I'm looking forward to that coming up.
All right, so as you, and it might even tie more than one campaign together, but not the ones you're thinking of. But moving on. You enter into the palace, and you know the stereotypical enter the fancy estate shot where the camera moves forward through the doors, and then you see this giant double staircase that comes up and arches around, and there's balconies going all over the place, and pillars that are intricately carved, holding everything up. Some of that's still here. The staircases are gone.
Okay.
The balconies immediately to your left and right are still there. There's narrow strips with perhaps hallways that branch out, or maybe those are doors to the outside. It's really hard to tell in here. You didn't get a full view of the entire palace grounds when you entered. But everything where the staircases would have started up to the back wall of this palace has just been ripped out with not a lot of care for doing it neatly. I mean, the back wall is still intact. There's not a whole lot of protection from the elements that you need here, but if it did have a rainstorm, you wouldn't worry about rain coming in through there. You'd worry more about why is it raining in a desert.
And this desert.
Yes, in this desert that hasn't seen rain in millennia. It's a desert of deserts.
Title card. The gang renovates a palace.
All right, so Gox, we need you to watch out for this particular pillar. This is a load-bearing pillar. So that means... Okay, you just hit it with your axe.
Mold Earth?
Ooh, we can use the decanter of endless water to make a nice fountain.
Or you could fill that depression in the middle of the palace floor, where the tile stops because everything was ripped out. It slopes in, and there is... You can't see the bottom of the depression, mostly because it is seeing a therapist. So that helps a lot.
So there's a brief story that has direct relevance, but not it's not a D&D story.
Okay.
The college that I went to, I started in 1997, and the coffee shop was a very large rectangular room, and in the middle was a circular depression. Like, you could step down, and there were tables. And it was very, you know, aesthetic. There was... It went with the vibe of the coffee shop. So I took some time off. I left in 1999, came back in 2005 to finish my degree. And the coffee... In place of the depression in the middle of the coffee shop was a... They had set up a coffee stand that was level with the rest of the coffee shop. And I was sort of, you know, disappointed that little depression wasn't there anymore. But then I found out why that little depression wasn't there anymore. And it was because, as part of a senior prank, someone had made a goldfish pond in the little depression. And they properly water sealed it.
Oh.
And so the entire floor of the coffee shop had to be replaced.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And many of the offices in the basement below the coffee shop had to be replaced, including the radio station.
Wow.
So that is horrible.
They decided that was never going to happen again.
At my university, the only prank we had to worry about was every now and then someone would take a full box of detergent and toss it in the fountain in the middle of the campus. But that's neither here nor there. This depression is filled with treasure.
Ah.
Yes. Hmm. A variety of trinkets. You see a bit of gold, a bit of silver. It's mostly jewelry. There's a lot of sapphires that are mixed in.
Mazir spontaneously appears from the other camp.
She is unable to do anything because Katie has spontaneously appeared from the other campaign and has already taken half of the stuff and put it inside a pillowcase.
I cast banishment and send them both back to where they're supposed to be.
Oh, I love crossovers. All right. So Gallic walks right up to the treasure, climbs up over the treasure to the apex of the pile, turns and sits down and looks at you, and in a very un-Gallic-like voice says, "Greetings, what can I do for you? I must say, it's so nice to see you almost in person."
Almost.
Actually, out of character, it's been long enough that I genuinely don't remember why we're supposed to be here.
You never actually found out. You were coming here to investigate if there were any signs of Tiamat or Tiamat's followers.
Right.
Yeah, we're basically doing info gathering to try to figure out where those mummy things we let free might hang out.
Right.
Well, hi there.
Hello. We get that a lot. Well, not the almost in-person thing, but the... Actually, you know, a lot of people aren't glad to see us, but people should be glad to see us.
Oh, I have gathered that. I do have many informants that are out and about in the world beyond my borders. It's rather boring in this particular area. There's the odd Nothic or Nagpa that I have to deal with, but for the most part, pretty much everything's dead.
Or undead.
Dead, Dave.
Yes, well.
Do you mean to tell me everybody's dead? Good, Bennett.
What about the parrot? I mean, it's sitting right there on its perch, only because you've nailed its feet to it. This is an ex-parrot.
Okay, that I caught. Yeah.
He's just taking a little nap.
So, who are we talking to?
Yes, exactly that. That's what I was going to ask.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so who are we talking to? Mr. or Miss or... Who are you?
I am known as Deucalion.
Wait.
That name is familiar.
Deucalion or Deucalion?
D-E-U-C-A-L-I-O-N.
Okay, so you're not the Duke of anything.
I should hope not.
What do I have to roll to know why I know that name?
The DM took it out of a Wikipedia article about Jason and the Argonauts.
Okay.
That's why I know that name. Okay.
Alright. So,
a fun fact, Jason and the Argonauts is one of the earliest forms of fan fiction because it took a whole bunch of other stories that were part of Greek culture and just threw them all together in a giant mashup. The only thing they didn't include was a coffee shop alternate universe. Actually, I should probably look at it again. They might have. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. So, hi. What happened to your palace?
Oh, it was not nearly as roomy as I usually prefer, so I made a few renovations.
Okay.
Are you another or dragon and that says it's a god? Because if that's what we're dealing with...
That's not a good track record for that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've noticed that particular track record. It was how I originally found out about... Look, I must say, I'm not going to judge, but it would really help if you came up with a name for your group. Those in my circle of confidants tend to refer to you as those kobolds, and...
Yeah, we get that a lot, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's more than one group of kobolds in the world, so when you say those kobolds, you're not really being specific enough in most situations.
Yes, we're the only ones who are those kobolds.
No, you need a word in the middle between those and kobolds.
Well, I was trying to be PG.
It's a word that I can't say on this stream.
Yes, considering the DM is a teacher, I'm trying to avoid that word myself.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, by the way, that I'm really out of character, that I'm really enjoying the George Takei voice on Deucalion.
Oh my. And Archangel Beth is, I believe, using Romulan profanities in the chat.
Yes, she is. That's what she's doing.
I do not give inspiration for that.
She already has it.
Oh, I think you're right about that. Yeah.
Yes. She almost had an opportunity to spend it, but then the plot changed.
Well, I mean, I'm sure Daldane and I could come up with some titles if you need titles.
Well, really, it would help with the various people who know of your little band for them to be able to address you properly.
Hmm. How about the dragon slaying kobolds? We've done a lot of that. I don't think there's other kobolds.
I imagine you've killed many things that weren't dragons, perhaps more things that weren't dragons than were dragons.
Well, yeah, but most people remember the dragons.
Daldane and the bad seeds.
Or Zili's firecrackers, or Gox and the beheaders. Well,
I'm the only one that does that.
Yeah, I suppose Gox is the main one that beheads things.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. That's how you know they're dead.
I blend them.
The chipped claw dragon slayers, bane of false gods. I can't think of more as a player right now, but Zili being Zili undoubtedly has like a zillion overly dramatic titles, and she's just going to start listing them.
It's like when you start referring to royalty and you just list all their titles.
Oh my gosh.
First of their names. Ellie says, kobolds imitating superheroes successfully, or KISS.
That's pretty good.
This goes along with Daldane prestidigitating face paint to look like Gene Simmons before she goes into a musical number to grant inspiration to the party, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Look, if you're going to have a name that long, people are just going to keep referring to you as those kobolds, and then we're back at the start again.
Well, you don't have to pick all of them.
I suppose.
I'm giving you options here. Don't you appreciate that?
Oh, I do appreciate options. Don't get me wrong at all. I enjoy options. For example, I recently acquired another advisor. So now I can listen to one, or I can listen to the other, or I can simply ignore both.
Who are your advisors?
Oh, they're the shadowy figures that are hanging out in the alcoves to the left and right of you.
Ooh.
Hmm. Fair enough. That's the best place for shadowy figures to hang out.
Yes, and the one on the left, if you may have noticed, flinched a little bit when I pointed out their hiding spots. But frankly, I really don't care.
Well, it doesn't seem like you particularly have to.
Of course not. One as old and powerful as I am usually only needs advisors for a second opinion, not a first opinion.
True. And we value your age and your wisdom.
I know you're just saying that, but that's okay.
No, we do. I think we genuinely do, because you're not collecting loci or foci. I don't remember what the word was.
Planar foci.
You're not collecting planar foci to try and rule the multi. And you're not destroying our friend's house.
And you're not in my head.
You're not in her head. And
she's not in yours.
Yes, frankly, I am not.
I have no interest in anyone dimension dooring into my mouth. I assure you, I would begin to chew.
Yeah, the Malathomex tried that too.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I am aware.
You were saying?
For you see, and Galax pulls out a small yellowed piece of paper and flings it towards the party, and it hits the ground and sort of just skids across. And stops right at Daldane's feet.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
I totally know Daldane. And I do know.
Awesome.
I do know that as a loyal servant of my queen, you would, if I was actually here in front of you, want to do something about my continued existence. You do have a certain track record for that.
This is why we value your wisdom.
Because it's far away from us?
Not exactly. Too far, but far enough.
So, out of curiosity, and this is genuine curiosity, why do you keep bringing kobolds here and then making them skeleton?
My queen desired an army. I had no choice but to provide.
Or kobold skin? She wants an army of kobold... She wants an army of skeletons, or an army of kobold skin, or... I'm just trying to figure things out.
Undead kobolds seem to usually be a bit more resilient than the average live kobold. No offense, you are far from average.
No, it's a fair cop.
And occasionally, a kobold with, shall we say, magical aptitude maintains a bit of that in the raising process, so to speak. And they are far more efficient and valuable.
So you're making kobold liches?
I don't know if they're liches. I think liches are, they have specific thingies. Partway through what Zila was saying, I remembered she's not proficient in Arcana and probably doesn't actually know much about phylacteries.
All I know is that liches are undead wizards, and I wanted to make the joke kobold liches.
Okay.
That's valid.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredibly valid. But these are more like, it's not an exact comparison, but similar to your friend Tim.
Oh. But what if they don't want to be skeletons?
We don't always have choices.
So you're kind of enslaving them in the afterlife, sort of.
Well, here's the thing, Gox. The Deucalion considers Tiamat to be his. I want to make sure I'm getting this right. Deucalion, you go by he, him?
I'm not big on pronouns in general. It's fine.
Okay. Deucalion considers Tiamat to be Deucalion's queen, which means that pretty much anyone Deucalion decides is one of Tiamat's subjects. And because she's a queen, that means they have to do what she says.
Wait, does that mean you're a duke after all? If Tiamat's your queen, and your nobility that works for her, well, sort of nobility. I mean, you act like nobility. You seem noble.
Galax shifts his head to the side and raises one skeletal finger and scratches the bottom of his chin. I hadn't really thought of it like that.
I mean, it would be cool to be Duke Deucalion, wouldn't it?
True, although the area I have domain over is larger than some kingdoms on this world now. However, I...
Well, sure, but if you call yourself King Deucalion, then you're challenging Tiamat.
And I certainly wouldn't want to challenge my betters.
Well, you're heraldic superior.
For example, if I was, say, born a mortal, one of the lower, younger races, and had the gall, the utter audacity, to command a dragon to do my bidding and continue charades and cheap scams of other mortal races for trinkets and nothings, why, I might be inclined to be placed in a trap where a particular band of kobold adventurers might deal with me. Not mentioning any names, mind you.
Right, just those kobolds.
Yes, and you really need to pick a name for yourselves, honestly.
Well, we were trying, but, you know.
That's the perfect thing about us not having a name, this plausible denial. See, if you were to... If you were one of the younger mortals and decided to rise up and got yourself stuck in a trap where those kobolds came and dealt with you, well, you, Deucalion, well, who knows which band of kobolds you met? They're just those kobolds.
Look, this is all fine, but my hold person spell's about to wear off on both of my advisors. You might want to do something about it. And suddenly a bolt of energy shoots from one of the figures up on a balcony and hits Galax. And there's a lot of kobold bones going in various directions.
Yeah, I thought that was where this was going. Let's roll initiative, fellas.
Oh, how dare you! I liked him.
He broke him into little pieces. That's not right. The barbarian has rolled a 5 plus 2.
9.
12 from Daldane.
Ooh. Screwed that up.
Oops. Something's wrong there. I mean, I'm not good with numbers, but even that doesn't look right to me.
Yes, we do not want roll 1d20 equals 3.
And I got an 11.
Oh.
We're not good at initiative today.
Not today.
Most of your fights don't last more than 2 rounds, so...
True.
I mean... Even yeah. that epic right. 3-hour-long encounter on Saturday was technically 3 rounds.
Oh, wow. That's really weird to think about, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you were fighting over 10 enemies. There was a lot of rolling.
Yeah. Okay.
So, what's the interior of this room like again? Like, are there skeletons just wandering around? Not wandering around, but lying around?
At this point, you see 2 intact skeletons that are 15 feet tall each. There's okay. one...
Those are not the advisors.
Those are not the advisors. There is okay. one kobold skeleton that is currently a game of pickup sticks.
Oh.
Or 52 pickup. Or I don't know exactly how many bones kobolds have, but it's all of them. And I've rolled for everyone else. Awesome. Oh, I should actually make another roll. There we go. All right. So who goes first? What goes second? I don't know goes third.
No, that town's gone.
Early on, yes.
Mm-hmm. Not in this campaign, but yeah.
Okay. So the being that sent that beam of energy down happens to be the old priest you encountered before and chased off before.
Oh, wonderful!
You again.
He turns into a cloud of dust. And swoops down and attempts to go out through the front door. But the skeletons that are on either side of the door reach out and push the door shut. And one of them turns and says, "Oh no, you're not getting out so easily."
Oh, they're here to guard him. Huh.
So he's stuck inside.
Deucalion is my new favorite NPC. Like, I get that he's working for Tiamat and he's a bad guy and we're going to have to kill him eventually, but Deucalion, I like Deucalion. Like, he's one of those affable, evil characters.
I aim to please.
All right, let's rock and roll.
All right.
Let's do this.
All right, well, let's see. What did I name this guy? Now, I've even forgotten his name. Havilar Idman. So, with his... movement held back, he goes and casts Guardian of Faith.
Oh, no.
A large spectral guardian appears and hovers for the duration in an occupied space of your choice, and he picks pretty much right on top of him, which puts it in range of both of the giant skeletons. Any creature hostile to it that's within 10 feet must succeed dexterity saving throw or take 20 radiant damage. No, it takes 20 radiant damage on a failed save. Half as much on a successful one. Let's see how dexterous giant skeletons are.
Oh my.
Not incredibly. I mean, not bad overall. Those are 2 passing saves.
Wow.
So their shins are nicked up a bit, but they're still hanging in there. So that is Havilar's turn. Daldane, you're up.
All right. Can we see the other shadowy figure?
He hasn't gone yet, but he's on the other balcony.
Okay, how far apart are he and Havilar?
At this point, they're maybe 40 feet away from each other as the kobold flies.
40. I want to check. What's the name of the spell that, what's his name cast? Guardian.
Guardian of Faith. It's a spell that in some campaigns that have been streamed has been referred to as a chipper shredder.
Oh.
It was one of my big spells for a while.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to look up the stats, and that is... neat. Eight. Level 8 Bigby's clenched fist at Havilard.
I'm not sure I like that you're metagaming as openly as you are right now.
Oh, I was going to cast Bigby's clenched fist anyway. It was... The decision was that or chain lightning, and chain lightning only spreads to 30 feet.
If you wanted to take out the large skeletons at the same time, but how many battle fronts do you want?
Yeah, no, I don't want to attack that. If it was less than 30 feet away, I would have cast chain lightning, the other guy.
Okay.
But as I'm casting Bigby's clenched fist, and I just wanted to... I'm not trying to metagame, I'm just...
I know. But I also never said Havilar was a mummy lord, but that has been declared by party members recently.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. So go ahead and attack with your clenched fist, as opposed to an open hand slap, which is a bit more insulting but less damaging.
True.
It might annoy him more if it was a slap, I would think, this guy's attitude. But anyway.
Will a 19 hit?
A 19 will.
Alrighty. That's 43 damage.
Ouch.
Whoa.
Wow.
That is significant.
Never underestimate the power of an angry kobold with a terrorist fist bump.
Oh, there are some who underestimate you. There are some who are terrified of you. I respect you.
And that's why you've got the business card.
I have a small collection. Okay, next up is Marwise.
And Gox gets Bardic Inspiration.
Oh, good. What does that do again?
You get an additional 1d12 to any one ability check, attack roll, or saving throw.
Okay.
So if you roll low, but not more than 12 low, you might want to roll an additional d12.
Okay.
And I, as a DM, am just simply thrilled. Actually, I, as a player, am thrilled that a D12 is going to get used.
I know. I'm amazed that I have one.
It's usually included in sets, but it's usually like it's the die that just sits there, like on the bench, saying, "Put me in, coach. I'm ready. Anytime."
I've never had a set of dice. Some of what I have is from a set that got split. Long story. But yeah, I have a D12. So hooray! It might get to be used.
Archangel Beth in chat is also aghast that beloved NPC Galax has gone to pieces.
Yeah.
I feel kind of bad too, and I'm the one who did it.
Mm. Well, sort of, kind of.
Marwise, what would you like to do?
All right. First, just need to decide what level I want to cast Spiritual Weapon at. I think I'll do it at 4th level. So I'm going to manifest it by the guy who turned into dirt and tried to run away. And it's going to take a swing at Mr. No One Can Remember His Name.
Havilar Idman. Although I imagine it might not matter so much in a short while.
Mm-hmm.
Does a 28 hit?
I know it's a cliche at this point to say just barely. So I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say, yes, you hit him a lot.
Now the question is, does a 19 crit?
No. Clerics don't usually get that option.
Okay. Just making sure.
And so I get to do 2d8 plus 4.
Got to put the space after the R there.
You're just not having luck with the dice tonight.
15 damage.
15. Nice.
All right.
So, that was my bonus
with
action.
Your bonus action.
And for the main event?
I'm not sure if this will be helpful, but I'm going to throw up a laid barrier between us and the shadowy figure who hasn't moved. And that takes care of my turn.
Okay. Next up is going to be Zeely.
Right. You. Whatever your name was.
Havilar Idman.
Right, like I'm going to remember that. Anyway. You're not my better. You are a pile. You're a pile of ash who is soon to be a pile of more charred, deader ash. Quicken fireball!
Oh dear. What do I need to roll for a save?
I think that's a dex save.
Dex save DC 17. If Gox is over there, and I can't remember if Gox is over there or not.
No one charged forward.
No one's, yeah. Okay. Gox hasn't had a turn yet, so Gox is standing near you.
So it's just him and the skeletons over there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So what roll do I have to make?
Dex save.
Number.
AC 17.
17.
And I'm casting it at 5th level.
That's a nat 20.
All right.
For Havilar. And for the skeleton, one of them also got a nat 20. That's 2 nat 20s in a row. I'm impressed with myself.
Well, it's good that you're using them up.
The other one got a 16.
Okay, so one failed the save, 2 succeeded, so the successes take half damage. I treat those ones that I just got on the damage roll as 2s because of my feat. Oh, right, I also forgot about my plus 4, I think, to fire damage, so that's 36 points halved for the pair that made their save.
Wow.
Or in one of them's case, I think you said that he was fire vulnerable. So,
yes, so
you know,
it's halved and then doubled.
Yeah.
Okay. I have marked that off.
I will note that was a quickened fire.
Which is why I'm not saying who goes next.
Indeed.
So
are we getting fireball too? Return of the fireball?
Actually, yes. I'm going to do that again with a 6th level spell slot.
Nice.
This is that old video of the LARPers where the one guy's going, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, but it's Zeely and it's fireballs and they're large explosions.
Yep.
And then you can tell Tiamat that I sent you. How are they doing on the saves?
Well, Havilar got a 6 for this save.
Ooh.
So I have a very strong suspicion that he's not going to be around for round 2. That's a nat 1 for one of the skeletons.
Ooh.
Oh my.
But the other one got a 3.
Oh my.
What were you saying about me using up my 20s?
Yeah.
Let's see, and 39 points of fire damage.
Oh yeah, what's going to happen to Havilar? How do you do this?
Zeely grins at him, and she sort of waves. And tell her that we're going to stop her. And then she puts out her hands and...
Haruken!
I'm upset. I am upset that I have to give inspiration for that. But my policy is if you make the DM laugh, you get inspiration. I am upset that you're earning it. But you have earned it.
If it makes you feel better, I already have.
Well.
Slightly. I'm slightly appeased. You may continue to live.
Good.
That's an appropriate animated GIF that Cindy has posted in Discord. Not the first one, because no one's running. So
he tried.
The first fireball goes off, and no one dies, but some people are very badly burned. Havilar is singed away to the point where there's not much more left than blackened skeleton, and he sort of staggers forward a half step, like he's going to come over and just try to claw you to bits with what's left of his fingers. And then the second fireball goes off, and you briefly see a skeletal outline before it just evaporates into ash. The door is charred, but still firmly shut. Both skeletons are standing, although one of them looks a bit worse for wear. Their swords, which were made of metal, are both glowing red hot. And one of the skeletons turns towards Zeely and says, "Really, I do like your style, but if you could control the collateral damage, I would appreciate it."
Daldane turns to the second figure and says, "So, how's Surrender looking?"
The shadowy figure?
Yeah.
The one that hasn't even had a turn yet.
Yeah. Yes.
And is currently behind a great big barrier of spinning blades.
All right. Well, Gox, I've got some bad news for you.
Okay.
It's your turn. And your target is a good 20 feet off the ground on a balcony. And the stairs are out.
Okay. Let's see. Trying to figure out how high the ring of jumping will go.
I don't think quite 20 feet. And you'd have to jump through a wall of blades to do it.
Yeah. Is there a second shadowy figure?
This is the second shadowy figure.
Wait, the first one is killed him.
The first one's a Charmark.
Oh, okay. I get it now. Well, let's see. How high up is the blade barrier?
I put it up there mostly so kind of not knowing if he's a caster or if he was going to try to approach us. So I would have put it up in a way that made it really hard for him to get to us without going through the barrier or taking a long way around.
What's your strength modifier, Gox?
Strength modifier, +3.
All right.
If I'm reading that right, I think that's right.
Yeah, you can make it 18 feet.
I can jump 18 feet?
Yeah. If you move at least 10 feet on foot immediately, jump. You can
the
move.
Balcony is 20 feet up.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
+3 × 3, so 18 feet.
Yeah, it's just out of reach.
It's still too high.
Yeah.
Okay.
Javelins.
Javelins. Yeah, I'm going to throw a javelin at him. All right, so I got to roll. I rolled a 10 on the dice for that one.
What's your bonus
probably
to
missed.
Hit?
Oh, bonus to hit. Yeah, let's see. I don't know.
For a javelin,
wait, I do.
It is
+8. Yeah, I see it
with,
now. Okay.
With a +8, you hit.
All right, so now I roll, looks like 1d6 +3.
Yes.
Okay, 1d6.
Although you did forget to rage.
Oh, I did, yeah. Okay, well, can I do that in the middle of the two? I don't know.
I'll allow it.
Okay, so I'm going to officially rage.
Gox is especially mad because he can't get up to the enemy.
Yeah, it's like I can't reach you. Yeah. I'm using the darned javelins again.
This first javelin goes through what it looks like it hit this guy in a designated good guy area, which is weird because he's not a designated good guy.
Yeah.
But it's sticking out of his shoulder. He doesn't flinch.
Okay, so I rolled a d6 and I got a 6, and then there's a +3 to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 9 damage.
Okay. He doesn't look like he's really hurt. So no. So I'm going to throw another one.
Well, it's just in a good guy area, so it's going to keep him from climbing more than 3 flights on a ladder per turn.
Uh-huh.
He's not going to be able to carry more than 3 wounded villagers at once out of a fire. And if there is a large explosion behind him, he might turn and look at it, as opposed to walking away, putting sunglasses on. But other than that, it's normal.
Okay, so I've rolled a 9, and the javelin's a +8.
Okay, this is going to hit, and don't forget to add your radiant damage, because you're raging.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I roll a 1d6 first for the damage from the javelin itself.
Right.
I got a 1, +3.
So
and
4.
Then radiant damage is a 6.
Okay.
So that's 10.
You didn't even need to use your bardic inspiration.
No, I didn't. Not yet.
You get to save that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I think I'm done because that's my 2 turns. And I'm raging, so that's
yes.
I think I'm done. Yeah.
Arshbeth in the chat says radiant damage.
Radiant damage, yes.
I am here for this content, and we'll probably use that line again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up is Varn.
Oh, yeah.
This is my favorite part of the evening.
Because you get to roll a d12.
Oh, no, a d8, but still.
Oh.
Okay. Get to figure out what Varn's going to do.
This is for my brother! You killed him! Again!
And that's a 5. A 5 is a rot grub pot. It's a clay pot, and it's tossed to a 5-foot square space within 20 feet, and it breaks open on impact. So how high up did I say the balcony was?
20.
Yeah. He throws this rot grub pot, and time slows down as you see this pot arc through the air, going end over end. It's got this giant, comically sized cork holding it shut.
Oh,
it goes end over end, and soars in this beautiful arc. In my head canon, Gox is just watching it go and going, ooh, as Gox's head tracks the motion.
Mm-hmm.
And it sails through the air and hits its apex right in front of the balcony. And then starts to angle down and hits the wall under the balcony, and all the rock grubs fall to the ground and take lethal falling damage because they're grubs. And that's 20 feet. So 1d6 per 10 feet of damage. 2 points of damage would kill them.
So now the ground is grubby.
Yes. But that's Varn's turn. All right. Next up is this guy, who has not introduced himself. He just sneers at you.
And I call him Ozymandias.
Don't tempt me. Gox.
Mm-hmm.
I would like you to make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
He rolled a 16. His wisdom is 0 plus 0.
He rolled a what?
A 16.
16. 1-6.
Ties go to the attacker.
Okay.
You have the very strong urge to attack those people who are standing next to you.
Oh, no.
And you're going to act on that on your turn.
Okay.
Yes. You are dominated.
Oh, no. Okay. Okay.
Yes. And that's
Oh, wait.
I
forgot that I have counterspell.
This is a 5th level spell that was cast, so you're going to have to roll for it.
True. Unless I upcast counterspell, but I'm not going to do that because you already told me what it was, so you know. Anyway, I'm going to roll. Okay. Okay. Ability check using my spellcasting ability. That would be charisma, so that's 1d20 plus 4. 21.
Okay. Yeah, the spell fizzles.
Gox shakes his head like, what happened? And then growls at the shadowy creature. I don't like you. The
feeling is mutual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so start of the initiative order. Haveril's turn. He wafts away on a breeze. Duldane, you're up.
That's usually a good sign.
Usually the maniacal laughter is Zeely's wheelhouse. She might sue you for copyright infringement. Did you license that in advance?
Oh, no, I'm proud. I'm proud of her.
Okay.
Zeely looks proud.
Can I see the shadowy figure?
Yeah. He's not so shadowy anymore. There might be a bright light from residual fireball damage that's illuminating him at this point.
Okay.
Translation, I set things on fire.
Just slightly.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's dancing.
Yes. By the way, Zeely, Sanctimonious is slightly proud of you. Now there's a spellcaster that knows what to do, I do say. Who cares about the environment if you defeat your enemy at any cost?
I have a decanter of endless water. This is why I have a decanter of endless water.
Oh, this is why.
Okay, Otto's irresistible dance on the shadowy figure.
Okay.
And as a bonus action, Bigby's terrorist fist bump.
The shadowy figure is doing the hammer dance, by the way.
Apparently 13 is my best roll.
A 13 is going to miss. He just gets on his tiptoes and slides to the right as the fist bump goes past him. Then he slides back to the left.
Can I use my inspiration to give myself additional advantage?
He yells, "Can't touch this!" I would allow it.
All right. I'll try one more time. How's a 16?
Miss.
All right. And that's my round.
Okay.
That's my turn, rather.
Marwise.
All right. He doesn't seem to be inhibited from the blade of barriers, so I think I'm just going to dismiss that. And my spiritual weapon can move 60 feet in a turn. Is that enough for it to make its way from
easily? I did say that the two enemies were 40 feet from each other, so this would give it 20 feet to spare, yes.
And it's got advantage. Because of Otto's irresistible dance, other creatures have advantage on attack rolls against it, And it has disadvantage on dexterity saving throws and attack rolls. And it has to use its action to make the wisdom saving throw to regain control of itself. I love this spell so much.
It is so very broken.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I also love my 8th level Bigby's Grasp, Bigby's Fist, which does 10d8 damage if I can hit.
By the way, either a 22 or 27, as those were your two rolls, would hit. He's armored, but he's not that armored.
Moidalin!
I am having bad luck with the right dice roller today. So 17 damage.
Points of damage.
17 damage. Not bad. Not bad for a bonus action.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't think anyone on our side took any injuries yet, right?
Not yet.
No. Nope.
Unless you count the giant skeletons as allies or Galax as an ally.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's going to fix him, though. Poor little guy.
Short of a resurrection spell.
Yeah, we'll mend him.
Hey, that could work. It worked on Tim.
I actually do have Raised Dead if we can find a diamond, but he's probably
got a pile of treasure over here. We got a pile of treasure here. Probably a diamond in there somewhere.
And he's probably been dead longer than 10 days.
Oh, yeah. That could be.
He's a skeleton.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but considering they're all skeletons, I kind of figured that they might be.
He wasn't raised yesterday.
On the other hand, and I will suggest this in character once the fight is over, Deucalion might want to keep him with us as a representative.
Interesting.
It's a thought.
All right, so, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was saying Marwise's actual action.
So, yeah, don't have a lot of offensive stuff. I'm just going to cast Sacred Flame. So he's got to make a dex save of 17.
And he has disadvantage on dex saves at this point, right?
He sure does.
He makes the save.
Huh.
Aww. All right, since it's just a cantrip, he avoids all damage then.
He yells again, yeah. Can't touch this!
Ba-da-da-da, ba-da.
And that's my turn.
All right. Zeely.
Zeely is going to refrain from throwing any more fireballs right now.
Wait, why?
She was asked nicely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but the new guy's not anywhere near the skeleton. The only thing that's in danger is my Bigby's Fist.
Can your Bigby's Fist building. Take the, yeah, that too.
A lot of the interior was gutted, but that ceiling is still being held up.
True.
For now.
All right. Fire bolted out.
Does the other formerly Shadowway figure, I remember you described them, but I can't remember what you said.
I didn't really describe him. He's just wearing some nice looking robes.
Eo?
Yes?
Perhaps he's a bit gaudy.
Does Zeely know fly?
Zeely has wings.
So yes.
Yeah, but no.
Oh?
The question is, does Zeely know the spell fly?
No, because she has wings.
Okay.
Though I think you have a magical item that can make things fly.
I'm thinking of ways to get Gox up to the shadowy figure.
Oh, I can get Gox up there easily. Zeely goes over to Gox.
Mm-hmm.
Gox?
Yeah?
Let's go up there.
Quick and okay. All right. Yay!
Quick and dimension door, that was.
Yep. I knew what that was going to be before it was said. As soon as Zeely said, I can get Gox up there, I was like, gee, I wonder what spell could get someone else to a location that can be seen. Let me think about this. Still thinking. Hold on.
She's done this with Gox before, so he's like prepared. Yeah. All right, here we go.
Well, I did that with Gox last session, too, but unfortunately I can't do it again until the next dawn.
Yeah, so he's pretty happy with Dimension Door, so, yeah.
Gox quietly puts away the javelins.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a quickened spell, so,
For your next trick?
Chromatic Orb. Expending a second level spell slot. Still dancing? Still dancing, I think.
Still dancing. He hasn't had a turn since it was cast on him.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He goes after Varn.
Oh.
23.
That's going to hit.
All right.
Everybody hits but
21 points of fire damage.
Everyone else is rolling over 20. I'm just going to point that out.
Wow.
Well, it's either just 21 points of, did you say fire damage?
Yep.
This is my shocked face. And that ends Zili's turn, because you've used your bonus action for your quicken spell. So Gox, you find yourself in front of a big bad that has a good head on his shoulders.
For now. I gotta catch him first, though, because he's dancing. Probably. Yeah, how close can I get, and how big is he? Like, how tall?
He's medium size.
He's medium sized. Okay, and how far away from me is he now?
You're on the balcony. He's right up in your face, pretty much.
Okay, so I'm going to use... Well, I could probably reach him if I jump a little bit.
No, you don't even need to jump. Just take a swing.
Cool. Taking a swing. All right. That hit something. That did not. That's an 18 on the dice.
An 18 just hits.
Just hits. Okay, so...
Regardless of your bonus.
It's what?
I said that'll hit regardless of your bonus.
Yes.
Cool. Cool. All right.
I may have revealed that that's what his armor class is.
All right. So 1d10 plus 4. I've got an 8 on the dice plus 4.
Okay.
And that's my first swing. So radiant damage is a 5. And that's my first turn. Or first strike, I guess. Okay.
And for your next trick?
Going to aim for his head if I can. And I've rolled an 11 on the dice, plus 9 for battle axe.
11 plus 9.
30, 20.
Wow. Okay. So I get 1d10 plus 4. It's rolled a 3 plus 4.
So that's 7 damage.
Yeah. And I think that's it. I'm still raging. So even if, so if he's currently on fire and I'm too close to that, I think the rage...
His clothing's a bit charred. He's not on fire.
Okay, because I was going to say, Gox has some resilience to fire from his armor. Plus, he's raging, so it'd be half damage. So, we're good. Barbarian is happy. Right.
So, Barbarian is happy. Now it's Varn's turn.
How's surrender sound?
Okay, so maybe you can touch this a little bit. All right. Varn reaches into his backpack and he pulls out his scorpion on a stick and he looks at it.
Oh no.
And he looks up at the balcony, he looks down at the scorpion on a stick and he looks up at the balcony and he says,
yeah, I'm not going to do that one.
It's a javelin.
And he just sort of sighs sadly.
Oh.
It's all right, out of range.
Varn. It's all right, Varn. We're avenging your brother for you. We got your back, buddy.
All right. Well, now it is time to make a save. So
yes,
what's my target
wisdom
number?
Wisdom saving throw against 15.
Wait, what saving throw? Wisdom?
Wisdom 15.
Okay. Oh, look. He has a bonus to wisdom saves.
Ooh. He's going to roll a 3.
He didn't need the bonus, but he had a bonus.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yes. Okay. He reaches out and attempts... to grab Zili. This is an unarmed strike. He's furious.
Okay, what do I need to roll? Oh, no, not roll. Unarmed strike. Okay.
He's attacking you.
Hang on just a second. How many attacks does he get? How many actions does he get per
round? Oh, wait, no. Back up. He had to use his action to make the save. So he used his action to make the save. Let me look at his spells. Does he have any bonus action spells?
Yeah, he's got a move action and a bonus action left. Thaldane is a cruel master.
Only a master of evil.
Yeah, but my name's not Darth.
Which is Darth good because Thaldane. That's the title.
Yeah.
Darth Dane, according to Archangel Beth in the chat.
Oh no.
Apparently, in some Germanic languages, Darth means father.
No, Vader means father.
I'm backwards, yeah.
I know a little bit of German, so, yeah.
Darth Vader is dark father.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was apparently not too much of a spoiler when episode 5 came out.
Yeah.
Everyone who spoke German was like, this is straightforward.
Yeah. I know a little bit of German because my grandmother spoke some, so I have a few words that I know, and I thought it was a strange name to begin with, but okay. And then, anyway.
Okay, it looks like there's nothing I can really do at this point. So that's going to end his turn, and we go back up to, let's see, who's left alive? Daldane, it's your turn now. The dancing has stopped. The music's still playing.
Oh, the dancing has stopped. He's so cute.
You're going to cast it again, aren't you?
Is talking a free action?
Talking is a free action.
Deucalion.
Yes.
Do you have rooms we can stay in tonight?
You're kind of looking at it, but the rest of the city is available. If you don't mind, shall we say, the other tenants. But I imagine you already have accommodations that are ready to go.
Well, I'm about to use them up, because I only have one 6th-level spell slot, but I do have a 7th-level slot.
I'm intrigued and terrified.
And so is Gox.
Everyone just pauses and looks over at Daldane with a look of abject horror, because they don't know what's coming, but they know it's not going to be good. This includes both giant skeletons, only one of which is currently possessed by Deucalion.
I am pumped for this.
Imagine, if you will, the camera zooms in on every person's face in this palace, including Galaxus, which is just
this.
Sort of just like laying there, just the skull.
Oh.
And the camera zooms in on Galaxus' face, the jaw falls off. And there's no sound at all when it zooms in on Galaxus' face. Just the jaw falls off.
Clunk.
But in a way that looks like he had his mouth go agape.
Yeah, actually. Wait a minute.
Laughing at the gift there. That's a good one.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with a Gox who is denied bacon. So, I'm going to use my bonus actions to big these clenched fists. Our dude in the shadows on the balcony again. 19?
His AC is 18, so that hits.
18. Alright. So that's 47 damage.
Is this bludgeoning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
I think. Hang on a second. No, it's force damage.
Ah.
And then we have a 5th-level Dissonant Whispers. He's got to make a wisdom save at 15.
His bonus takes him to 15.
Okay. Well, attackers win ties, darn it.
Okay. He decides that he's the attacker.
That's 11 points of psychic damage.
He used a legendary resistance.
All right. I don't know what that does, but I assume it reduces my damage to 0.
No, what it did was, you said ties go to the attacker? So, yeah, that was a tie. You're the attacker, so he used a legendary resistance so that he...
Legendary resistance. Okay, I got you.
Yeah. So if they make the save, what happens?
11 damage, and he doesn't have to run away.
He might choose to anyway.
And since you always ask, what I say for the Dissonant Whispers is, baby shark doop doop doo 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 doo, baby shark doop.
That song is going to be in my head for the next 1,000 years.
That's the idea.
Well, to be fair, you're not expected to have a head for that long.
Not if I can help it.
I serve a dragon goddess that lives in the 9 hells, and you are the most evil creature I have ever encountered.
Yeah, that's the idea. How's surrender sound to you?
You keep saying that.
You should listen.
It's irrelevant.
She doesn't say it because we're going to invite you to tea.
Okay.
Well, we might invite you to tea if you decide to defect.
It's not his turn, but he still goes and takes a strike at Zeely for saying that. that is that's a 26.
Whoa.
That's going to hit.
He chooses not to deal damage.
Oh no, I'm grappled, aren't I?
You're grappled. On your turn, you may try to escape it. For his next trick,
he waits until everybody else is
Will an 18 hit you?
Hit who?
Zili.
That depends on two things. One, yeah. When was my last turn? Was it before or after Gux almost got dominated? Two, can I take...
On your last turn, you dimension doored.
Yeah.
Okay. And the counter spell was before that?
Yes, you have a reaction available.
All right. Can I take it while I'm being grappled?
Grappled does not prevent spells, I think. You don't bonus from any speed buffs. Your speed is zero.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, you can cast spells.
Okay. So I can cast spells fine, and you said it was an 18?
Yes. You're going to cast shield, aren't you?
I'm going to cast shield and make my AC 19, yes.
All right. He tries to bite your neck. It doesn't work the way he planned.
Hey! Oh, you are going to regret that.
He's already regretting it.
I'm not mean. I'm 1,000 years old, and I just got lost. Just lost track of my moral code.
The vast majority of the city is undead kobolds. Even the ones that are still sentient have never needed a dentist because their teeth grow back. So none of them have dental skills.
Oh no. Did somebody chip a tooth?
Arr.
You and Malifaux, Max.
Marwise, it's your turn.
Okay.
Zili is still grappled, by the way.
If my spiritual weapon attacks the shadowy figure, is there a chance it might hit Zili?
I would probably only care about that if you rolled a 1.
All right, then I'll make an attack and hope I won't crit fail. And do I get advantage still for pack tactics?
Gox is still right there, so yes.
Yeah.
All right, so I got a 28.
That'll hit.
For 12 damage with the spiritual weapon.
Okay.
Nice.
And I'm probably still best off using Sacred Flame. So he's got to make a DC save, dexterity save of 17.
Let's see. What's his bonus? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he makes the save.
Okay. Well, that's my turn, I guess. I should probably figure out another spell to use next round.
Okay. And now it's Zili's turn. You are currently grappled. Would you like to not be?
Oh, no. I'm fine with this. Do you want to know why I'm fine with this?
Because you're going to immolate yourself?
Yes, actually, because I'm going to cast Investiture of Flame into a quickened Investiture of Flame into a 7th level spell slot.
I, the DM, saw this coming. This guy? Not so much. Is this a save that I have to make, or is this an attack roll that you're doing?
I mean, it doesn't technically say that creatures that are grappling may get set on fire. It's any creature that moves within 5 feet of you for the first time on a turn or ends its turn there takes 1d10 fire damage. So I'm not sure how grappling me is handled right now.
So basically on his turn, if he sticks around, he's going to not stick around for another bite.
Yeah, he's not going to want to grapple me. However, I quickened it, which means that I can use my action to do the other thing it lets me do, which is use my action to create a line of fire or 15 feet long and 5 feet wide extending from you in a direction you choose.
This is what it looks like when Zili rages.
Yeah.
Since he's right there, I think Zili is going to open her mouth and choose a direction of straight into his face.
You can attempt this.
Dexterity saving throw for him.
He chooses to make the save.
Alright.
Okay, half as much damage, so I'm going to roll the 4d8 plus 12 points of fire damage.
It doesn't matter that he chose to make the save. How do you want to do this?
Ooh.
I chose a direction of directly into his face. So Zili opens her mouth and breathes fire, and well, Gox isn't the only person who's beheaded someone right now, except when Zili does it, she does it by... There's not a head there anymore. There's ash.
Okay. His grip on you loosens, and the hands fall away.
See?
And his head is still there. Kind of. You see a shadowy, see-through, ghost-like apparition of a face.
Well, that doesn't usually happen.
And he looks at you with incredulity as the rest of his body assumes a gaseous, mist-like form. And then immediately tries to go through a crack in the wall behind you.
Well, see you next time, then.
Well, this won't do. You let him get away.
You should pick allies that are chickens.
We don't really have a way to prevent gases from leaving.
Well, it's okay, unless he has a residual sleeping spot. I have assets that might be able to deal with him when he tries to regenerate. In any case, I didn't pick him as an ally.
Well,
I'm going to take
I sympathize with that.
I'm going to take my decanter of endless water and clean up any more things that are on fire and make them less on fire. And I should probably stop concentrating on investiture of flame if I want to do that. And the fires around Zeely wink out.
Okay. I can see Zeely going over and trying to pat out her flame. And as she pats it, she just makes it spread more. Like, why isn't this working? Oh, that's right.
Right, yeah.
Calming thoughts, deep breaths, count to ten.
Hey, can you restore Gallic? He's the kobold you were talking through who showed up.
I can take a look at him. Do me a favor, everyone roll a perception check.
Okay.
Let's see, perception checks, my eternal nemesis.
Okay, I rolled a 10, and perception is plus 5.
Oh, wow, dirty 20.
Okay.
19.
So I'm the only one who failed it.
Oh, no, Gox didn't pass it.
No, I got 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got a 6.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Zeely's the only one who catches it.
Ah.
One of the giant skeletons has leaned over and picked up something from what little remains of Havilar. And it's just, it's very small because these are giant freaking skeletons, but it has it pinched between a thumb and forefinger. And it's just casually holding a hand in a way where you can't see what it is.
I think you might be a little big for holding that. Want me to help and take a look?
Oh, no, I know what this is, and I think I'm going to hold on to it.
Oh, all right. That makes sense.
In any case, you were wondering if I could do anything for Varn's brother here.
Yes, please.
I can, in fact, take a look at him, but I would have to actually take a look at him. So you forgive me if that's not something I'm going to do right this moment.
Of course.
Makes sense.
Varn, meanwhile, is just sitting on the floor next to the largest pile of Galax's remains. He's holding the skull in one hand and trying to fit the jawbone back in place. It's not staying because anything that was holding the jawbone in place was either flesh, which has long since been destroyed, or magic, which was kind of dispelled.
Varn, I think your brother's in a better place.
Kobolds don't really go to a better place. You kind of know who we worship.
Yeah, but I mean,
what is it better than this?
That was terrifying.
It was not meant to be terrifying. It's meant
to be Varn is not...
When I want to be terrifying, you'll know.
Nice.
Oh my gosh, Ellie.
The DM has felt a chill.
That was awesome.
Also, the DM is just going to point out that Varn is not consoled by this.
That's rough, buddy.
Well, keep traveling with us and you'll be able to kill the guy that killed him.
That could be satisfying sometimes.
I think I already did that.
Yeah, that was the first thing that happened.
Yeah. Hey, how do I get down off this balcony?
How about I pick you... Wait, no, I do not pick you up. How about I do not pick you up? Here's
skeleton...
where I remind people that Zeely has a strength of 5.
Oh.
The skeleton that isn't pinching something between thumb and forefinger walks over and holds a hand out like a platform. The skeletons are only 15 feet high, but they still have long arms.
Yeah. All right, thanks. And I walk onto his hand.
Give me a dexterity check.
That hit something. Hold on. Okay, that is a 14, and dexterity is a +2.
Okay.
Hopefully the skeleton does not yell yeet.
It does not. It provides, it gives you a lift, but in reverse.
Okay.
It does provide a ride down, but it's got a very bony hand. So this dexterity check was to make sure you kept your balance on the way down.
Okay.
Wahoo!
Watch that first step. It's a doozy.
All right. So I get to the floor and I walk off the hand and go, thanks, wave up at him.
Don't walk mention over to it.
Have I managed to decant water onto most of the, and or control flames most of the fires?
It is my assumption that when Zeely has an unspecified amount of time to control fire, that she has to do whatever she wants it to do.
Excellent.
There's a particular forest where her services would have been useful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
That gif is terrifying.
Ducalian.
Wow. What is that from?
Okay. I have no idea.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Okay, so now what do we do?
Lord Ducalian, may I have permission to open an extraplanar portal outside your palace?
It's the least I can do after the services you've rendered. I would say that you made a powerful enemy just now, but I think you'd already made that enemy a long time ago.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I've said, I'm pretty sure Tiamat knows us by name at this point.
Or at least by
reputation.
Those kobolds.
Those kobolds. We are those kobolds. Yep.
It's quite possible. As things are now, one could argue that I'm technically supposed to be duty-bound to destroy you myself, but I shall continue to serve my queen in a manner that I think is fitting, and those who have a different vision can mind their own business.
Ducalian, do you have an objection to slang pronunciations?
I would say it depends on the context.
Well, do you have an objection to pronouncing those as does?
What do deer have anything to do with this?
D-O-S-E, not D-O-E-S.
I'm not familiar with the vernacular.
I just think that perhaps Daldane and those kobolds might be a good way to refer to us.
I do appreciate a good excuse for alliteration.
There we go. D&D kobolds it is.
I don't know why I suddenly feel disappointed, but I do.
Thank you.
All right. So
I'm going to cast Daldane's magnificent dwelling on the outside of the palace.
I'm upset with you now. All right, I think this is a good point to end it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so who's got stuff to plug?
My mom writes books. You can find them at elizabeth-mccoy.com.
I have a social media website at elekk.xyz. I still haven't opened registrations, but I will within the week.
And current members can send invites, though, right?
Yeah.
So there's still ways to get in.
My website is Book of Jen at bookofjen.net. It's got two podcasts. One is about Diablo 3 lore. The other is just stuff that I've written about random things and me reading them to you. There's a lot of gaming type blogs on there and a bunch of other stuff. And in August, I'll be attempting to post something new every day for a project called Blogist. And we'll see how that goes. That's bookofjen.net.
Are you going to BlizzCon this year?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm going to plug our Patreon, because we have a Patreon at patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. We use it to break even, keep the lights on. It costs about $10 a month to pay for the server and the domain registration. And we're breaking even with that. So naturally, I'm spending more money because we also have paid content on the site. Speaking of blog posting, one went up today. Jen wrote a wonderful piece on how using friends can go really well or really poorly, depending on which side of the combat you're on. Yep. I won't give a spoiler other than to say that there was a T-Rex and digestion. Both were involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's start D&D blogging again. So, Crash, I'm going to talk to you about that separately.
All right.
Cool. Excellent.
Very cool.
Okay. Well, right now we have a bunch of awesome patrons on Patreon. We've got Alice, Chris, Cindy, Ellie, and Eric all help keep the lights on, even though most of them I said, don't do this. And they immediately said, you're not my real dad. You can't tell me what to do. And they were right. I can't. So I am very gracious and happy about this. And if you want to be awesome like they are, you can also send a couple bucks our way and help encourage additional awesome content like that. And on that note, I think it is time to call it an evening. So until next time, try to watch the collateral damage.
Always good advice.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Good night.